Longtime NFL offensive lineman, spent a time here in Buffalo with the Bills, 11 seasons in the NFL. NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger on the line with us. Brian, John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, John. Steve, how are you guys doing today?
Doing really good. Thanks for coming on. We had you on the show because you had some things to say about our young quarterback here in Buffalo. And everybody's, and me included, I got to admit, we're a little enamored with him and the way he played against the Dolphins, even though it was a losing effort. There was some pretty tangible stuff that made him look like an improved version of himself just 7 days before that.
Well, I mean, one thing, Steve, I mean, he's averaging 10 yards a carry in his last two games. He had the entire Dolphin team with their tongues dragging on that field, chasing them all over the place. You know, obviously, the Bills made some moves this week. They got to upgrade the talent around them. And I had a conversation this week with the Hall of Fame quarterback. I'll leave his name out of it. He doesn't think there's much improvement with Josh. And I'm like, well, how can you evaluate this guy? He's running for his life. He's keeping him in these games. They're highly competitive. You can see what kind of athlete. He's a better athlete than I thought, Steve. He's faster than I thought. And, look, he's sailing a few balls. You know, he's missing on some guys. But he's not missing badly. He knows where to go with the ball. You know, he needs an off season of just learning touch and, you know, how to drop the ball in, how to take a little off the fastball. I mean, I think that could come. It's hard, though, if you're just literally running for your life all over the field almost every play. I don't know how you can even slow yourself down to be calm. But I see calm feet. I see a guy that's, just, you know, that is tall in the pocket and does a lot of good things. I just think that there's a lot to work with here. And by no means is it a finished product. But, I mean, the game last week came down to the final play. I mean, if Charles Clay comes back and catches that ball, you're in overtime. And I don't know how much more you can expect from this team right now that we know needs a lot of talent.
Hey, Brian, I want to ask you, you tweeted out 2 days ago, Josh Allen is a bundle of talent and excitement. Are we getting caught up in that too much, do you think, as we look at him on a week-to-week basis here in Buffalo?
Well, I mean, you know, part of this thing is entertainment. I mean, it's entertaining.
It's fun.
You know, I mean, look, it's, like I said, it's not finished, but I don't know how much they're actually giving him. I mean, he wasn't expected to start. He missed parts of training camp with an injury. The offensive line was dreadful to start. I don't know how much you can expect right now. I think he needs a full off season. He needs these last four games to see if we can make just some incremental jumps where just the eyes can see it. But I stand behind the things that I say when I watch him. I mean, I don't see a lot of other quarterbacks that are that dynamic. We know we can't just run around and make plays. We know that's not how you win big time in this league. You're going to have to stay there and you know, read the defenses and the coverage, and that will dictate where the ball goes. All that has to take place, and that remains to be seen to a large extent. But they drafted a guy that has all those tangibles that I described.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that he's going to get a chance to go against one of the other guys that was drafted in the top and third overall by the Jets. The two of these guys are, I mean, they may be lined up for an entire decade or more of matchups against each other, and it's the second time these teams have met. Both of them missed the first matchup with an injury, but Sam Darnold rolls into Buffalo for the first of, I think, what Jet fans and Buffalo Bill fans hope is a rivalry that goes for a decade plus. Talk to us a little bit about Sam Darnold.
Well, I hope so too, Steve. I think Sam Darnold's last start before he got hurt was against the Chicago Bears. And I remember Tony Romo and Jim Nance were calling a game that day, Steve, for CBS. And I had a long conversation with Tony about him. He loves Sam Darnold, loves him. He thinks that when Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron step aside, that he could be the marquee quarterback in this whole business. So, I mean, that kind of let you know what one guy thinks of him. I think a lot of him, too. I think he's a lot more polished right now than is Josh. I don't know that he's as talented. I don't know that he can run as fast or throw the ball as far and all those kind of stuff. But really doesn't matter as long as you're throwing the ball to the right guy and throwing it accurately. But I do think I think it comes down to which team does a better job of building around their quarterback and putting the best coaching staff out there to get the most out of these guys. We've seen the difference that Sean McVay made with Jared Goff after his first year. And I think for both of these players, and I'm not saying that Buffalo is making drastic changes, but we pretty much are sure that the Jets are, And so which team surrounds him with the best staff and the best players? And that's kind of how you build this thing, from the inside out around the quarterback. And I think that's the task going forward.
Brian, there was so much pre-draft analysis of all of these first-round quarterbacks, and a lot of the experts, when they talked about Darnold, said he throws too many interceptions. He did that at USC. Now, he's played 9 games and thrown 14 picks so far. Is that a recurring problem for him, an issue for him?
Well, a big part of his turnovers at USC, though, John, was fumbled a lot. And he has done a much better job of protecting the ball inside the pocket, and I think they've coached him well like that. If you looked at the receiving core that he's been throwing to, there's been games this year, John, where the top three wide receivers have all been out,
mm-hmm.
whether it was Robbie Anderson or Quincy Enunwa, whoever it was. I mean, he was throwing to scout team-type wide receivers. I'm not saying that that's the excuse for a lot of the interceptions, but it's not uncommon to see these guys make these mistakes early and to get it out of their system and realize, you know, the difference in coverage is that he sees at the NFL level versus what he saw in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
What weight do you put on, you know, I know at the beginning of the season we all kind of have fun prognosticating about how these teams are going to turn out, but then the season starts and all the teams that you thought were going to be really good turn out to be not so good, and some of the teams that were supposed to be not so good turn out to be really good. I mean, they got strength of schedule left, you know, and in these games left, it's just a month left of the season. Neither the Bills nor the Jets are really thinking playoffs. They're thinking 2019. What about the defense that Sam Darnold's facing as opposed to the defense that Josh Allen's facing?
Well, they both have, you know, some star players. I mean, if you look at the Jets and Jamal Adams, I mean, he leads that team in just about every category defensively. And he is a great player, Steve, a great player. And he really is a force in the middle of the field. He's a great tackler. Leonard Williams, a good player up front for him. And for the Bills, look, I mean, I think the one thing that is undisputed about the Bills' defense is how hard they play, and I think how well they're coached. And I think they bring that to every single game with them. And so I think the Jets are going to have their hands full with this Bills' defense. I think that they're out there trying to scrap to win every single game. I think there's some pieces that they can still add. The middle linebacker is 19 years old. He's going to get better. But the defensive line plays hard and is tenacious, and I don't think that's going to change on Sunday.
The first matchup between these two went really hard in Buffalo's way, 41-10. But two different quarterbacks, change of venue. Do you think we'll get the same type of game we got a month ago when the Bills hammered the Jets down at MetLife?
I don't think it's going to be that kind of a lopsided score. I think Sam Darnold, I think the time off from the injury is actually going to do him some good. I think he's had a time to sit back and kind of look at some of the mistakes, see what Josh McCown has been doing the last few games. I think you'll see a better performance, probably as good a performance as we've seen. So I think the Bills are going to see their best from the Jets. I think they're a lot more healthy at wide receiver than they were in that first matchup. So I think it's going to be a closer matchup and something more, a competitive game all the way through to the end.
One thing I want to bounce around the NFL if I can, Baldy.
Sure. Yeah.
You saw what happened to Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy in Green Bay. The Packers are starting to get a struggle. I mean, are starting to get a head start on their search for a head coach. How attractive is it in Green Bay? Why is that job unique because of the ownership and the chain of command? And who do you think maybe is the front runner? What type of coach you think they're going to be looking for?
It's a good question, Steve. I don't know who the front runner is. They have a new general manager. Brian Gutekunst is the new general manager. So I'm sure that he has his sights set on a couple of candidates right now. I think it's always an attractive job, Steve. First of all, if you're, not just a coach, but if you're a parent, I mean, it is a very manageable place to get around. I mean, if you want to go see your son or your daughter perform in any kind of thing, whether it's sporting activities or whatever else it is, you could get from that facility to any school in a matter of minutes. So, I mean, I think it's just got great history, and you got Aaron Rodgers. So I think it's a very, very attractive job. And we know that if you win in Green Bay, win or lose, the fan base is as good as there is in the NFL. They never go away. They're always there. And so it's the only game in town. I think it's a really attractive job. We've seen some great coaches come through there. starting, of course, with Vince Lombardi. But I mean, we've seen some great coaches come through and win Super Bowls, and you know, it's a great place to have a crowning achievement. And I think Aaron Rodgers still has some good football left in him, and I think they need some new ideas. I think they need a new way of doing things, and I think they need an upgrade in talent in a lot of places. But I think it's a very attractive job.
With Brian Baldinger, your former offensive lineman, 11 years in the league now, NFL Network analyst, does a lot of film breakdown, film study online and for NFL Network. Hey, I want to ask you, one of our favorite coaches here is Frank Reich. He's got his Colts team playing pretty well. And he's got a rookie, the sixth overall pick in the draft, Quentin Nelson, who I know you have been raving about in some of your analysis. First-round pick, offensive lineman. What do you see from him? What do you like about him?
Well, he's the best offensive lineman I've seen come in this league in a long time.
Really?
He's the best guard I've seen come in the league.
Wow.
I don't know, since Steve Hutchinson, maybe Alan Faneca. He moves bodies. He plays with a physicality that I just don't see in the NFL anymore. But he's changed the culture up there. He's made Anthony Costanzo, the left tackle, better. He's made the center, Ryan Kelly, better. There was about a six-game stretch where Andrew Luck wasn't sacked. You know, they just had their five-game losing streak snap, but they were down the goal line. They did have chances on Sunday to win that game and to continue the streak. But Frank's done a really good job. He's ignited Eric Ebron, the tight end out of Detroit. He's got 11 touchdown catches. He had 11 in his first 4 years in Detroit. It's a good offense. They're playing a lot of rookies. They might be playing as many as 7 or 8 rookies, starting with Quentin Nelson on that team right now. Darius Leonard might be the defensive rookie of the year. So it's a good draft. I think Andrew Luck has been rebuilt, and I think the future is really bright in Indianapolis, and Frank has done a great job with it.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I wanted to ask you again about another guy that came out. He was not drafted, Philip Lindsay, the running back out of Denver. And you talk about offensive linemen and how if you have a good offensive line, it kind of lowers the bar for how good maybe your running back has to be. Philip Lindsay, an undrafted guy, has turned out with almost 1,000 yards rushing at this point of the season. How important is a running back? And if you can get a Philip Lindsay after the draft is over as a rookie free agent to come in and rush for way over 1,000 yards, it looks like he's going to get. What does that mean for the NFL?
Well, we've always found, running backs in the lower rounds and free agents. I mean, they're always out there. I mean, Terrell Davis was a seventh-round pick out of Georgia, ran all the way to the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can always find him. And the odd thing is that the only team he ever wanted to play for was the Denver Broncos. He's a local kid out of Colorado, went to a local small school there. He's the only back in this league averaging over 6 yards a carry right now. His speed is blinding. But there's been a lot of fast running backs in this business, Steve. This guy, though, knows how to run the ball. And it's behind a makeshift offensive line. A lot of free agents, guys changing positions. They've had some injuries up there. And I said 3 weeks ago when they beat the Los Angeles Chargers, I said this team can put a streak together. They have the talent to do it. And they're on a 3-game win streak right now. They go to San Francisco this week. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised to see the Denver Broncos win out right now. And Philip Lindsay is as big a reason why. They have a great rookie class. I mean, a tremendous rookie class. But he's the best rookie in the class. And so Bradley Chubb's got 10 sacks. He's going to get a bunch more. And Royce Freeman is a good player. And Cortland Sutton starts a wide receiver. And, you could go – Jersey Jewell was the starting middle linebacker. All that stuff is good. This guy, Philip Lindsay, he reminds me, actually, of Tony Dorsett.
Wow.
Just the way he explodes. I'm not saying he's going to have a Tony Dorsett career, but I played with Tony. He reminds me of Tony. He's not big. He's 190 pounds, but he just explodes out of his stance.
Hey, Brian, there's a really good Sunday night game this weekend with the Rams going to Chicago to play the Bears, and America will get a chance to see Aaron Donald, who's just killing it on the Rams' defensive line. How good is he playing, and what's the likelihood that a guy like Donald could be the NFL MVP, a player on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, if he keeps making just game-changing plays, he's in the conversation now. But, I mean, talk about sacks, fumbles, touchdowns, just game-changing plays, and it's been going on now for 2 straight months. And he's going to go up against a rookie left guard, James Daniels of Chicago, who's playing really, really good football. There's just been one game in the last 8 weeks where he's been shut out. That was the New Orleans Saints did a good job against him. But The Chicago Bears are going to get their quarterback back, Mitch Trubisky, and that is going to be a tough place to play. It's going to be a great matchup. I think it's going to be one of the marquee games of the entire season. It's really Chicago Bears season. I mean, if they win this game, they're going to win the NFC North, and they're going to host a playoff game in Chicago. They're coming off a bad loss to the Giants, but without their starting quarterback. So it's going to be a great showcase. It's, you know, the last time we saw Aaron Donald on Monday night against Kansas City, I mean, he was the best player on the field that day. And if he's the best player on the field on Sunday night in front of a national audience, that conversation between, you know, Al and Chris is definitely going to be had for everybody to listen to.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Baldy. Give our listeners an idea of how unusual and how difficult it is for a guy to get in that conversation playing in a position that usually you got to look at the program to even know who plays the position, let alone have the guy be in the MVP conversation. Mike, just explain the gap between Aaron Donald and every other defensive tackle.
Well, I mean, there is that gap. I mean, his ability to beat double teams on a consistent basis is unmatched. Maybe J.J. Watt a couple of years ago when he was playing like that level. But, I mean, not just that, but playing the run, the tackles behind the line of scrimmage, the hits on the quarterback, forcing the fumbles right now, opening things up for other players on the defense because of the double and triple teams that he's seeing on almost a play-to-play-to-play basis. We just haven't seen a guy that has that type of strength, leverage, and power, and then combined with the largest array of pass rush moves in the business. I mean, it's just it's a toxic cocktail for any offense and any offensive line to deal with.
Hey, Brian, I got one more game to ask you about coming up this weekend. I have absolutely no sympathy at all in my heart for the Washington Redskins. But they're in a tough spot at quarterback. They got to go with Mark Sanchez this week against the Giants. And they're also getting criticized about Kaepernick. Steve and I don't want to get into the political stuff about Kaepernick, but Steve and I were talking about this off the air the other day. Kaepernick's really, this late in the season especially, he's not a viable option for anyone, no matter how desperate you are for a quarterback, right? He cannot be ready to play this year.
Well, I'm not here to criticize Colin Kaepernick, but I've never heard him actually come out and say that he wants to play football. I mean, everybody talks for him, but I've never heard him on any talk show. I've never seen him tweet anything out saying how much he misses the game or how badly he wants to play. It's just assumed that he is always, you know, working out every day and ready to play. And, you know, he hasn't played since the final game of the 2016 season. So that's a long time to take off to come in and learn a system. Look, the reason why Mark Sanchez was signed was he has played in this system. The quarterback coach in Washington has coached him, and he knows the plays and knows the system. I'm not saying that Mark Sanchez is better than Colin Kaepernick, but at the same time, you want to have a guy that at least has a familiarity with the offense. I've been on a team that brought a quarterback in midstream late in the season. It's hard. It's hard for them even to know the names of the players on your team, much less try to understand the playbook and where the ball is supposed to go.
All right. Hey, Brian, thanks for this. We appreciate your time today. Love the stuff you do, especially on social media with the video breakdowns and on the NFL Network. Thanks for joining us today. And good talk. Hope we talk again sometime.
Now, my pleasure, John. Take care. Talk to you down the road, Steve. I'll see you.